Hey, welcome to another episode of Geekly Reveals, the show that brings you geeky news on a weekly basis. That's geeky, that's weekly, that's geekly. And happy Mother's Day to all the mothers out there that are chilling. As once again, it's me, your host Dom, aka Brother Dom, all over the internet. And once again, I am joined by my lovely co-hosts. Would you like to tell the people who it is that you are?
Hey y'all, it's me. It's Stephanie, aka Papa Steph on Twitter, the Snowfair on Tumblr, Hello Steph on Instagram, and you know, I am just hanging out. I got out of bed at 2 p.m. today, and I'm feeling good about it. Who's our last person here?
Great to be here. Thanks for having me. It's Eric Tendilosi on the internet. And I just
back at it again.
Just back at it again. Thanks for having me. And I wanted to ask you, where can I park my camel?
What's that a reference to?
Is it in the camel lot?
Oh, I see. I see. I get it. I get what's going on.
Yeah.
How have you all been doing these last few days?
It's great to be here. Thanks for having me.
I haven't been on Twitter, so.
Yeah, I've been fine. Not like, I mean, you know, this week was rough with a lot of news stuff, but right now it's just a Sunday night.
Yeah, cops are out and running around Crown Heights as usual, and just, you know, just chilling, just trying to chill tonight.
Cool.
Despite the world, which yeah, the world we're is, not gonna...
World's always on fire, but we want to support bodily autonomy because we know how these things go.
Yeah, so we're all just kind of waltzing around the shitty leaked Supreme Court decision. We're feeling grim about it too, but we're not going to spend too much time on it because as the only person on the podcast with a uterus, it's extremely stressful to think about for me. So, but just shout out to indie abortion providers, give them some money if you can, volunteer to be if you feel comfortable, volunteer to be what do they call them? Not a security guard, but when you an escort, how you escort people from the curb to the security or to the inside, because people think that the best way to stop people from getting an abortion is to stand on the street and yell at them, as opposed to going and volunteering at a shelter or something. Whatever. We're going to talk about pop culture.
Yeah, I will say the only other thing about that is kudos to all you out there protesting, especially if you're protesting on Justice Kavanaugh or any of the other justices' lawns.
Yeah, we love to see it.
Love you. Thank you.
Be the nuisance they deserve to have in the world.
Yeah, and this stuff's important because we all know about momentum and precedents, and just how things never stop at just harming one group of people. So be careful and whatnot.
Yeah.
Until this is the real slippery slope.
Yeah, until stopped, they will continue to take. So don't.
What's I think the slippery slope fallacy is if we let two men marry, what's next? People marrying their dogs? That doesn't really make sense. But hey, if we take rights away from one group of people, what's next? Other groups of people?
Well, yes, probably.
Yeah, that tends to be how it works.
So there's that. I wrote on here also the world being on fire, and this is starting to move back into pop culture. I wrote on our show notes, Met Gala, and in parentheses, political. And I forget why I wrote that.
It's because you asked me a specific question about, and since I'm not somebody who is in touch with the Met Gala, but it was about that person who wore a dress that it was outside of the theme, quote unquote.
No, it was before that even. But yeah, that was a good call. Oh, no, it was a clown prince of New York City. Eric Adams was there.
Oh, good.
That's what it was.
Real-life Joker. Jokler.
Fucking last... Jokler. God, the last year it was, quote-unquote political because that was when AOC wore that tax the rich dress.
Yeah.
This year, it just felt... like out of touch. I think like Riz Ahmed was one of the few people who came in like an outfit that was like, my outfit is inspired by the working class because the working class immigrant built America, yeah. built the Gilded Age.
Didn't they have a sword? Somebody had a sword last year too. A sword made of a gun. Yeah.
Grimes.
That was Grimes.
Oh wow.
Grimes
wow.
had a sword made out of a gun.
Which again was on theme for American Excess or whatever, because there was an event that did not call for a weapon, and the most American thing you could do is bring a weapon to such a thing.
But yeah, so I think it's political in so much as it feels like a scene from The Hunger Games of like a bunch of extremely out of touch, rich, powerful people dressing up in fancy haute couture that like can come out of its vault like once a year, like kind of stuff. While 1 million Americans have literally died and the Supreme Court is taking away all of our rights.
It is really weird. The take that I was kind of building up and seeing is celebrities are basically like worship royalty in a sense. Like they're providing us with some small good, and that's well, not small, but they are either acting or performing, and art is very important, right?
Yeah.
But that doesn't make them better than us or anything like that. But my my hot take is, well, you know what? If you're going to be rich and famous and live this awesome life, the least you can do is show up in pretty neat costumes once a year for us. And when people are like, I'm just going to wear a dress or a suit, it's like, buddy.
Yeah, it's like, man. Like,
you didn't know one designer? Nope. No designer wanted to put an outfit on you. That's rough. But there were some good looks, though. I like to enjoy it as much as it's a gross display of wealth and excess. Some of the looks are at least fun to look at, I guess.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Look, fashion is interesting. It's pretty.
Yeah, I really haven't recovered from Heavenly Bodies, though. I don't think any Met Gala is ever going to top the Heavenly Bodies. Red carpet.
Now, which one was that?
That was the one where Rihanna came as the Pope.
Ah, yes. Is it the one where Jason Derulo fell on the steps?
I think it might have been the one where Jason Derulo fell down the steps. It's the one that Chadwick Boseman came in, like gorgeous, like, white, like saintly-looking attire. Jared Leto was there looking like a weirdo.
I forgot that he fell down the stairs. Chadwick Boseman
did look fresh.
I think the only thing that I really read about this...
Oh, that was the one that Zendaya came as like Joan of Arc, and that imprinted itself on my brain for the rest of my life.
the only thing that I really remember about this year's Met Gala, outside of what we've talked about ourselves, is apparently like Elon Musk had his team like ask out another like, you know, 30 years younger than him, like pop star essentially. And he got extremely rejected.
He's been being a real creep lately. He's in his divorced dad arc right now.
Uh-huh. Which is funny, because he's been in that for pretty much his entire adult life, considering it's his third time being divorced, so...
Oh, no. See, here's the thing, though. Being a divorced dad does not necessarily mean you're going to have divorced dad energy. But whenever Graham started dating other people, it kind of broke his brain a little bit.
It's like the difference between being a white person and being white people.
Yeah.
Is that sort of difference. And, you know, I mean, I guess we all have to suffer for it. But, I mean, there were some good looks. Speaking also of Elon Watch, I think AOC tweeted something about how, like, billionaires and tech companies need to do better. And I think Elon Musk texted something like, oh, it's cute, you have a crush on me or something.
And she was like, I was talking about
Zuckerberg, but okay. And it's like, yo, dude, why do you have to be such a weirdo, man? Like, that's
like,
so...
the pick me energy is so powerful.
That's so weird. I don't understand. Like, so many...
As I said, like, I think I said on an episode...
You have billions of dollars. Why are you on Twitter?
Right. I think I said on an episode, it's like, why is this, like, 50-some-odd-year-old man, like, just so desperately seeking the attention of, like... weird teenagers and early 20-year-olds, like...
I don't know. I have no... I don't know.
I mean, I have a clue, and it's that he is a terrible, gross person.
It's true.
Who can't handle a woman that his own age, like...
Yeah.
But that's why he wants to date young people. Why does he want the approval of young dudes? Like, I...
Because he wasn't... Like, probably because he wasn't before. Popular when he was that age, if I had to guess.
Yeah, that's fair. Like, I mean, I understand creeps exist. That's... we've seen that before. Oh, you're creepy dude. You date young women. I get it. You're Leonardo DiCaprio. Fine. But I don't see Leo out here like, hey, where's the young guys that to like big me up?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, it's
where's my hype team?
I think it's specifically tech bro thing, or maybe it's a specifically like heir to a
emerald mine,
apartheid emerald mine.
Yeah, because Zuckerberg's destroying our lives, but he doesn't seem to like feel the need to bother us about it. Like, he's like, yeah, he's destroying the world and democracy, but we don't have to hear every thought that he has. Like,
at least he destroys our lives in private.
Yeah,
do you think
you
it's
know
like
I mean?
A nouveau riche thing versus like, like if you're like if you come from old money like Elon, like you don't feel like you've ever earned anything, so you know you're trying to earn people's appreciation.
It's a
maybe
it's a West Egg versus East Egg thing.
Maybe someone was dunking on the Winklevoss twins on Twitter because they were saying something about Elon and like, boy, if you don't go get another idea for Zuckerberg to steal from you, like, like just the fact that you can be rich and just get roasted on Twitter, like, bro, if I was rich, there's no way I'd be getting roasted
right.
on Twitter.
I would,
like,
I just wouldn't be
I would not
online.
Be here to
That's
be roasted.
What I mean. Like, I would not be in the vicinity. Like, I thought part of being like a rich weirdo was that you could stay away from all the riffraff. And they're like, no, I want to get roasted by a stranger.
It's like, why? Like, just you could just
like,
not.
I want to put myself in proximity to be roasted by a stranger. Like, you didn't have to put yourself out there. No one asked you.
Yeah, like I can't roast Bill Gates to his digital face. So I don't know. It's it is what it is. Lots going on. I don't even know where to start. We have a lot of game news, video game news, so we'll save that towards the end. And by the end, I mean the last 60%. it's a lot of game stuff, but I think people might know some of the stuff. But the fresh, hot news today, we have a new doctor for Doctor Who.
And it's James Corden. Oh, sorry.
It is James Corden. Yeah, actually, that's the new one. You know,
God, we
all thought
so
we were
much.
We thought we were getting a black doctor. No, we got the pinnacle of human perfection, James Corden. No, that's not what happened.
No, we actually did get a black doctor.
We actually did. It's pretty neat. what a world that would be.
Well, no, you joke, but back in when like we were in college, they were like really like. Got like gassing up this actor Patterson Joseph that he was going to be the next Doctor and he was black, and then they cast Matt Smith, the whitest Englishman on the face of the planet.
I think there's a difference between saying, hey, we want a black guy and you give us a white guy, even an aggressively white guy. Okay, fine, that's the world, we've all seen it. But somebody that like is so aggressively disliked as James Corden would just be like, hey, I understand you don't like black people, but what do white people do to you?
Well, part of the reason he's so popular in the U.S. is because he was in Doctor Who. Like, he was in, like a fairly well-liked standalone episode.
It's the psychic baby, right?
Yeah, with Stormageddon.
James Corden?
James Corden, yeah that's what that's literally the first time I met him. Oh, no. No, I also met him from Doctor Who, Matt Smith. But no, yeah, James Corden was in this episode of Doctor Who, and before that, he hadn't really had any kind of, like, I think, like, press or knowledge across the pond.
Yeah.
And then the late show, the Craig Ferguson late show went away, and they were like, let's give this guy from the UK a talk show, and it was the worst idea anyone's ever had.
Yeah, I feel like we get weird imports because there's so many funny British people. Like I watch Taskmaster and a lot of British comedians, but it seems like we get people that are not always the funniest. Like I know a lot of people don't like John Oliver. I don't dislike John Oliver, but I could see why some people might not think he's funny. Like he's just a guy, but there's hilarious British people of all genders and races and stuff. Which is funny. I haven't seen any comedian. There's a lot of comedians that aren't part of the Turf Island committee.
Uh-huh.
There are a lot, but the ones I follow are pretty decent, so that's nice. But no, we buried the lead here. We have a new doctor. He's a Rwandan Scottish, Shuti Gatwa, and it's cool to see a black doctor. And I don't know. People like Scotland, right?
People like Scotland more than they like England. Scotland likes Scotland a lot more than it likes England. So Scotland's trying to not be England real hard, or not be the UK.
You may have seen him in Sex Education, and you may see him next year in the Barbie movie with Margot Robbie and Ryan Gosling.
Holy shit.
What a thing. What a thing to be having.
What a range.
And America Ferrera, Simu Liu, Kate McKinnon, Emma Maggie, Saoirse Ronan. Why is everybody in the Barbie movie? Hold on.
What the fuck?
Yeah, Saoirse Ronan, Shruti Gatwa, Alexandra Shipp, Will Ferrell, Ice Cube, Ariana Greenblatt.
What's happening here?
Hold on, Michael Cera, Rhea Perlman.
What was the fucking garbage movie that was with Justin Long, I think, that was like End of the World or something that had all of the...
I didn't know if Justin Long was in it, but I know Seth Rogen was.
Okay, yeah, it was that movie. Brand of... People liked it, but it was, like, there was like some like... I feel like there was just like some skeezy behavior on set. I remember.
Oh, on set, I don't know.
At the time, yeah.
I know in the story there was skeezy behavior that was part of the plot, but it was. Oh, Issa Rae's in this.
Jesus.
Yeah, there's a ton of people in this movie. I don't know if it's going to be. It's directed by Greta Gerwig, so there's a. And she co-wrote the screenplay with Noah Baumbach. This might be a good movie.
What the fuck?
Weird.
This is a necessarily stacked movie.
Yeah. Look up cast of Barbie 2023. We're here to talk about Doctor Who, but wow, that's a lot of people in this movie for no reason.
Still
more diverse than the MCU. Ha ha!
Well, I was going to say, I've been enjoying the 13th Doctor episodes I've watched. I haven't, like, we've fallen behind on the most recent season. We watched up to the New Year special and then didn't catch up, but we're definitely going to catch up now. We're like, we as a Doctor Who household are very excited for this development, and I'm looking forward to seeing, like, I don't know, seeing what he brings to the role. It's always nice to be excited about, and this is I think as a Sonic fan you're uniquely positioned to understand this feeling of a thing you liked when you were younger not always hitting the mark in later years or seasons, but always the hope remains that you can come back to it.
It's true. Luckily, I've never had to take a break from the franchise, but golly, there were some times where it's like, please, either please make it better rest. Or end it. I'm glad it's gotten better, though. That's good news. What else? You saw Doctor Strange, I think.
I sure did. I saw Doctor Strange Thursday night, of all things, mostly because we didn't want, like, my roommate is very protective of one Wanda Maximoff, which was, spoiler alert, a rough position to be in this film, and did not want to be spoiled for any developments that might pertain to her. So we did see it Thursday night, and, you know, it was a movie. It was pretty fine. I had a good time most of it. Like, it's, like, it. I enjoyed it in the same way that I enjoy, like, a James Bond movie, where I've accepted that I'm just not going, like, I have to turn off the social critique brain to even watch it. Like, America Chavez is introduced in this movie. She's, like, a major, like, the secondary character, really, like, which is cool, like, to have, like, a queer Latina character be, like, second string to Benedict Cumberbatch in, like, a tentpole movie, but like there were some rumblings I saw on the internet about having her, like, she's from, like, a Mexican background in the movie when she was Puerto Rican in the comics, which just feels like a weird switch. Like, they gave her two moms, like she has in the comics, and she had, like, the pride pin that has, like, the triangle with the brown and black and the trans flag in it, on her jean jacket the entire movie, but never made any verbal mention of the fact that she is gay. I think we watched the first Doctor Strange movie before this too, because we were like, we've never actually watched this and maybe we should know what things are going into this. And, like, I'm glad I did rewatch it. Or I'm glad I did watch it for the first time, because there were definitely some things that I would have been very confused by. But it was definitely, it was directed as kind of a horror movie. Like, that was why they got Sam Raimi for it.
Multiverse of Madness or the original one?
Multiverse of Madness.
Okay.
It was supposed to feel much like a horror movie. And there were definitely some scary moments. There were, like, some solid creepy moments. Some exciting reveals, but nothing that, I would say none of the reveals feel like something based on the events of the movie that are going to, much like Evan Peters in WandaVision, don't feel like something that's going to kind of echo through the MCU from here on out.
Okay.
But were cool things to see.
Yeah.
And I don't know, it like Wanda stands beware, but
Wanda's a complicated character.
Yeah.
And
I mostly it's just like I felt like that the end of WandaVision that she was going in a like I have not solved my problems, but I have like acknowledged my problems and I'm going to work on them way, and it turns out that's not what the MCU thought.
Well, I guess that makes sense, because I feel like we felt that she resolved her problems based on the tone of the show.
Mm-hmm.
But if we really look at what happened at the end of the show, that's not what happened. Like, she's like, yeah, I guess I'm sad that my husband's dead and my children aren't real. Let me stop enslaving this town. And then in the post-credits, she's like, I hear my babies. It's like, wait, so what about all that character development? You're just more powerful. And you did the first step of therapy of like, ah, yes, I have trauma that's undealt with. What are you going to do about it? I'm not.
Nothing. Yeah, so just like it was, that was a little weird, but there were some really cool visuals. Like one of the final fight scenes, like felt so like, it felt like something I hadn't seen in the MCU before, the way that they were like the magic that they were using fighting, which was nice to see.
Yeah, I think the Doctor Strange movies get to do all the fun special effects and be a little bit weirder.
Yeah, so like I in general, it was a like I said, a fine experience. I feel like I am glad to have seen it. I hope that, I mean, it feels like they're setting up for the Young Avengers. They have Kate and America. Now Billy and Tommy aren't real yet, but maybe some alternate universes Billy and Tommy will join.
I mean, we have the infrastructure for the multiverse even before this movie, so
yeah.
I hope they get to do some more cool stuff. I've kind of fell off the MCU just since it was, I don't know, I think it just became overwhelming, not in a hipster way that I like when it was less popular, but now that everybody likes it and it's mainstream, it just becomes more of the conversation. It's kind of like tiring.
Yeah,
back when like nobody liked it, you didn't have to have takes all the time, but now it's like, oh, I gotta see this movie by when to not get spoiled. That seems like a lot.
Yeah, and like I can't let someone know that I saw this movie because they're gonna want to talk about it and have like an exhausting take, like
nerds just burnt me out. That said, Endgame was fire, and
that was
know.
Also
I think
part of it was there were definitely those moments that were like you cheer together as a theater.
Yeah. And I think the problem was is they messed around and got us to care about Iron Man and Captain America. Like, admittedly, like C-list characters on the grand scheme of things. And now they're household names. But the problem is after Endgame, it's like, well, we know what this is trying to do. It's not going to be a surprise anymore. Like, we all first saw like Iron Man get blown up in that cave. We didn't know he was going to be like fighting a purple dude from the past, like in a crater. Like, I didn't know that's what was going to happen. I didn't know there were rules about Mjolnir and that Steve picking it up was going to be a big deal. But now I'm like, oh, is this going to be something? Is that going to be Mephisto? Ooh, the multiverse. What's that going to mean? Now it's work. It's not fun anymore.
Yeah.
Conceptually. In action. Yeah. I mean, if people are enjoying this, I'm glad for them. I'm not here to yuck anyone's yum, especially a comic book movie. I do not care if you enjoy a comic book movie. Good for you. Please do. I got excited about furry dudes like 2 weeks ago, so like I'm not judging. I'm stepping back.
Just saying.
That's cool.
Yeah,
see.
So good time. I don't know that it's a movie theater movie for everyone, but I enjoyed it.
I heard the Strange movies are good for theaters, just from a technical aspect.
From the spectacle of it, yeah.
So cool. Moving along, sort of jumping into game news. We're sponsored by Grinding Coffee Company. More on them at the yeah, more on them at the end of the podcast. But moving from movies to games, there's a new Sonic show coming out, Sonic Prime. We're finally getting some news on it. We got like a 13-second trailer. Yeah, the animated show. Nice. So this is different than the Paramount Plus stuff. That's going to be the live action animated stuff. So, you know, live action with animated characters there. Mm-hmm. But this is just purely all animated, new voice cast. And Sonic got a new actor, Devin Mack. He's a black dude, and it's cool to see another black guy get a chance to voice Sonic. And if anyone tries to be racist about it, you can literally just, like, nerd cred check them. Because the first American Sonic voice the rest of us heard was Jaleel White.
Yeah, I was going to say it was Urkel.
Yeah.
It was Urkel. In three separate shows.
Yeah.
But, so it's nice to see it again. It's pretty neat. He has a good version of a voice, so I'm looking forward to seeing it. The Sonic shows have traditionally not really missed. I never really saw Sonic Underground, but apparently it was, like, charming in its own way. The Adventures of Sonic the Hedgehog, that goofy Looney Tunes bullshit. I watched the first episode of it again a couple days ago, and it holds up because it was never good. But I like, there's a lot of just goofy slapstick, and they're like, what the hell are they doing, man? Like, basically imagine if Bugs Bunny was super fast and had a buddy. Also, Tails is brown in the cartoons instead of orange for some reason.
Weird choice.
It is what it is. But yeah, so I'm looking forward to that. Other game news. There's a lot of game news this week, I guess. A small thing, crossover between the Mi Zone and the Eric world is Hololive did a little Cookie Run Kingdom stream. I like Cookie Run. He likes Hololive.
It's true.
We're friends now.
Oh, just now.
Just now. It took 15 years, but we did.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I think it was just like a sponsored stream. They've been doing that with a bunch of different, like, gacha games recently. Gura had I don't even know what the name of the game was, but she had to, like, censor herself because, like, she did a gacha pull or whatever, and just one of the characters popped up and just had, pardon my French, but just the massive tits. Just like...
It's a gacha game.
It's a gacha game. And she had to, like, censor herself, and she was like... You hear her go, boo, like she just wanted to say it so bad.
I mean, it's what they do with these games.
Yeah.
I played I told you I was playing, it's an early access game, I think, but it's a Slay the Spire type game with a little bit like more story and different mechanics going on. Not quite the same with replayability because it's not, you know, the way that, like, Tetris is a quote-unquote perfect game because there's not really any features you need to add to it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not going to say Slay the Spire is a perfect game, but it's definitely a 10 out of 10 to me. It has lots of replayability. This game has some kinks to work out, but it's trying to do more than that. And there's some of the characters I'm like, this character is just titty. It's just ridiculous, man. Like, you didn't have to try to convince me to play this game. Like, I was down with the premise, like, oh, it's a roguelite with cards. Sign me up, and they're like, you want to see some big old titties? I'm like, I mean, I'm not opposed to that, but, like, it's a little much, don't you think? So it's, hey, whatever it takes to get people in the arena, I suppose. Warcraft has a mobile game coming out?
Sure, why not?
Have you looked into it at all?
No.
I saw that it was coming out, and I'm like, what is this? And it didn't really seem to be any gameplay, but little figures, and I'm like, is this like a gacha or something?
I'll have to take a look, because I wonder if it is just like, if it's supposed to be more like the Warcraft, like, tactical games, like the RTSs, than it is to be like a MMO.
Yeah, I think it seems like it's a spinoff rather than the same thing.
Okay.
I don't know.
I saw you posted that, and I was like, I should probably look into that because I'm going to be the one who's like expected to talk about it. But I'm going
to be the one who will have to know what he's talking about.
Yeah, but I'm going to have like nothing to say.
I looked at the trailer and I was just like, I don't really know what they're trying to do here, but like, excuse my language, but the ball's on Blizzard to be like, yeah, let's release a phone game. People loved last time we mentioned Dwayne.
Yeah. People loved when we were like, don't you have phones?
Look, man, if there's anything nerds hate worse than things staying stagnant is them changing.
Yes.
Or doing anything that they didn't want them to do.
Yeah. If it's, like, even slightly different, they get mad.
It's absurd.
But, like, I don't know. Like, I'm sure that there is a place for...
It's not the way I want it to be.
Yeah. I'm sure there is a place for a Warcraft mobile game, though. Like, it's kind of surprising that they hadn't done one yet, if I'm being honest.
I mean, honestly, I think in a different setup, no one would have been upset about a Diablo mobile game either.
Yeah, and I think...
Just not in lieu of a full PC release.
Yeah. Yeah, and I think, like, Diablo, like, that mobile game is supposedly coming out, like, in this summer, and I fully expect it to be totally fine. Like, it will probably be a serviceable...
just like Doctor Strange 2.
Yes, exactly. Just like the Han Solo movie. Just
does what it says on the tin.
Yeah. It will be fine.
Just like Star Wars 7.
Yeah.
A Force Awakens. I can never remember Force Awakens as a title. I just remember the second two. Man, I get... Man. Every few months, I just get mad at Star Wars fans again.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Fans are what made the sequel trilogy bad.
Yeah, because it was otherwise fine. Again, totally serviceable up until the final one.
Well, people were so mad about John Boyega being black that
black they and just present
to ruin the movie. Yeah,
black, present, and near a woman.
Yeah,
people were mad about
near a white woman.
Yes, that I was going to say. You got to clarify, like near a white woman that they want they that were people were lusting over.
Well, Disney's trying to make it. It broke so many people's brains. I'm like, guys, what are you talking about? Like, is this? No, I saw on Instagram, this guy does polls every Tuesday, just on different stuff. He's like, if you had to delete, like, one section from the Star Wars trilogy of trilogies, which one would you do? Some people said the middle one, which I think is odd, that some people are like, yeah, I like the prequels and the sequels, but the original movie's kind of
flop. That is very strange.
You're allowed to have that take, and you may have just been trolling, but
is that
someone
who was, like, born in, like, 1999 or like 1998 or something and like saw episode one as like a small wee babe and then like grew up with the prequel trilogy and then saw the sequel trilogy as an adult and then saw the original trilogy and was like, man, these special effects in this original trilogy are just shit. Like,
I mean, possibly
Yoda,
like,
can't even do backflips.
Yoda's this little grumpy man living in a swamp. What the fuck?
I mean, honestly, if you saw them in that order, I can't imagine liking them. Because, you get all the references, but, like, it looks old, which is hard to... People say, you should play the classics, you should watch old movies, but, like, go try to play a PS1 game that you never played before. It's going to be rough.
Yes.
Even if people are like, no, dude, trust me, Spyro's a good game. I'm like, I believe it, but
I do think the special effects in the original Star Wars trilogy hold up better than N64 or PS1 graphics.
You're absolutely right.
They were doing practical effects. It was puppets, it was, like, models and stuff like that. So, like, yes, you can tell it's fake, but, like...
Oh, I meant the literal, like, film grain. Like, it looks like it was filmed on a camera from the 70s because it was. Not the actual the special effects are, like...
I was gonna say, I thought those were pretty fucking impressive for, like, the time period.
If you watch the original versions, not the ones that George Lucas went back and added garbage-ass CGI to, you're like, hey, look how real R2-D2 looks, and then an alien walks by. Like,
yes.
How'd you make a robot but not... Oh, because the robot's actually there. Okay.
The thing that's most egregious about that is that, like, by comparison, so, like, he did those, like, reworks in, like, the 90s, but then, like, just a few years later, you get Lord of the Rings coming out with Gollum, who still looks convincing enough to this day that you're, like, you're not too taken out of the movie by his presence.
Yeah, it's actually, like, I mean, I think it's because, in part, because they use, like, the visual effects so sparingly in the Lord of the Rings movies and depended on practical effects so much. But, like, it's actually more jarring to watch the Hobbit movies for a number of reasons, but including they're bad. Well, partly because they're bad, but including because they didn't do a lot of practical effects. There's a lot of like very corny looking animation.
Everything is green screened to the point where like Ian McKellen like would break down on set because it was just him like on like a full plane of green, like
with like a like trying to like act to a tennis ball.
Yeah.
Like in the fucking Danger Zone from X-Men.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, so it's just, it's really weird. But this guy said, yeah, no, of course I would get rid of the sequels. They're objectively bad movies with the worst written fiction I've ever seen in a mainstream movie. I'm like, dog, then you need to see more movies. I watch tons of movies, but you mean to tell me this is good writing and list problems with The Rise of Skywalker? And I'm like, hey, if you said The Rise of Skywalker was the sole reason you were deleting the sequels, no one would disagree with you. That's a bad movie. Like, no one's defending The Rise of Skywalker. But if you tell me the sequels are bad because of one bad movie, I think you gotta cancel all of Star Wars, my guy. Like,
yeah.
I think that's the general consensus.
Like, we watched the prequels on Friday night. We did not watch the first one.
The funny thing is I actually think the prequels, I think 1 and 3 hold up the best.
Yeah, 2 is a lot of, but we had a lot of back and forth this because 2 has some of the most iconic Anakin, memeable moments. 2 is the one with the line about sand, how it's rough and coarse and irritating. 3 gets everywhere.
3 also has the most jarring intro because the idea behind 3 is that you would have watched the Clone Wars miniseries that was supposed to take place between 2 and 3 because it just opens with like, we gotta kill Count Dooku. Boom, Count Dooku's dead. I gotta go kill General Grievous. And you're like, whoops?
Who's that?
Yeah.
Truly, like, the opening crawl does not do a sufficient job of establishing who General Grievous is compared to
war. Like, at least there are heroes on both sides.
Yeah. Like, it's one of those things where it's like, they did such a bad job. And the thing is the Tarkovsky, like, animated film or animated series, like, the little, like, mini-sodes that were, like, a cartoon were really impressive and really good. And you probably should watch them in between those films.
But you'd have to know that.
You'd have to know that. And they aired in, like, 10-minute segments in between other shows on Cartoon Network. Like, you didn't see them.
Like a, it's like a access issue.
Yeah.
To, like, the nth degree.
It was, like, before the times of, like, widely available YouTube or, like, that kind of stuff.
Or even TiVo.
Yeah.
Like. TiVo. Huh? Yeah, so.
That was a tangent. Sorry.
Star Wars is a fraught series. I'm wondering how good it actually is in general.
But I
enjoyed it, but I'm the Sonic enjoyer, so like
there's a lot like
subject to change.
There's a lot of weird stuff within Star Wars that you're like, ah, maybe this isn't that good and like the writing is like not stellar or whatever. But I think it's like for a long time it was the fact that the extended universe existed and it was like basically allowing people to create stories within it. And then, you know, I would honestly say like outside of the movies, like, I think the Star Wars video games tell some really good story, like, really interesting Star Wars stories. And it's like, hey, you could have just made, like, the Jedi Knight series into a movie, and it would have been really good.
It would have slapped.
Like, I mean, if you look at all the EU stuff, including the games, you could be a big Star Wars fan and understand the story and not watch any of the 9 movies in the Skywalker saga and probably be fine.
Yeah.
And possibly like the series more.
Maybe you get all of your like Skywalker saga knowledge from just playing Lego Star Wars.
I honestly, mean, there are worse ways to familiarize yourself with a canon than the Lego adaptation thereof.
That is true.
Guys, the freaking Star Wars Lego Christmas special for after the sequels
is
the
great.
Best portrayal of Rey, Finn, and Poe. Because I hate the accusations that Rey is a Mary Sue, because she's very strange, but the Lego movies lean into the fact that she's kind of a weirdo who grew up by herself. She's kind of like Aloy from Horizon and is like, hey, you clearly didn't grow up talking to people, huh? Like, you're a little bit weird.
Yeah.
And Finn and Poe are like, we're roommates. Like, what do you mean by that? Don't ask questions. Like, they clearly have roommates. That going on. I don't know. And I like Emperor Palpatine being this horrible evil man, but still being like a Lego villain. That's the most enjoyable way to watch him, because I'm pure evil. Like, then why don't you just kill everybody? Like, why are you taking the long way around? Like, what's all this other stuff you're doing?
It is still wild to me that Disney was like, we're going to nuke the extended universe. And then they took the worst plot point from the extended universe, that Emperor Palpatine cloned himself. And they're like, that's what we're going to do. We're going to definitely keep that.
That part stays.
Yeah. Which, the thing is, it makes sense. He had a clone army. Of course he was going to clone himself. But come on!
But not Palpatine is back somehow cloned himself.
Yeah. And then, okay, I finished watching season 2 of The Mandalorian this week as well. And the big thing of that is, like, there's the Dark Troopers or whatever, which were, like, these genetic experiments that they, in this show, just was like, nah, they're just droids. Fuck it, they're just droids. Like, that's it. Because they were like, oh yeah, turns out the last thing that was keeping the Dark Trooper project from working was the fact that we were trying to do it with humans. We just made robots. Like,
and honestly, makes more sense than, like...
But the thing is, the Dark Trooper thing was, like, a huge plot point in Shadows of the Empire, the Dark Forces and, like, the Jedi Knight, Jedi Outcast series, like, was, like, these Dark Troopers, like, that was, like, another extended universe thing. So it's like, it's cool you put it in there. Why did you go robots? Like, you were just like, hey, Trade Federation again. Like,
well, it's like, hey, it's cool you put America Chavez in the MCU. Why is she Mexican? she was Puerto Rican. Those are different.
Yeah. Just some, like, very weird, like, plot choices. We're like, we're not going to use the extended universe stuff because we want full creative control over everything, and then proceeds to do the exact same thing the extended universe did already.
Yeah.
Amazing.
That was quite the tangent.
Fandoms keep series alive, though. There's a lot of people that have, I mean, obviously know the truth that fandom kept Sonic alive, obviously, because they weren't doing it. But also Dragon Ball Z is that, honestly, the DBZ Abridged series possibly kept them in spirits enough that people wanted more. Which is not to say that Toriyama and people wouldn't have made more Dragon Ball after GT. But, well, like, I think a lot of people's inspiration or intro to the series was DBZ Abridged.
I think you almost nailed it on the first, like, just by saying, like, I don't know if they would have made any after GT, because GT was a huge flop. Like,
yeah, I don't think Toriyama had anything to do with GT. But
no,
still.
He just, like, kind of worked on some of the key art stuff, and, like...
Yeah, hot key.
Yeah, but, like... You know, if there wasn't the DBZ Abridged or just kind of like the huge meme culture of DBZ Online, like, I don't think Dragon Ball Super would have ever happened.
Yeah, I really don't think so. And I think that's very interesting, just that obviously it's not the only factor, but I think without Dragon Ball Z Abridged, there might not be, like you said, Super and even maybe Fighters.
Yeah, or video game. Yeah, most of the video games in general. This is really a discussion of not like fandom keep series alive, and but then, like, while fans keep series alive, they're also expected to do the, like, preservation parts of the different series. Like, they do the curation and the preservation. So at a certain point, like, what are the media companies actually doing?
They're just making the original product and just, like, throwing it at us and saying, like, here's your slop.
Yeah, and then they're like, also, Bleed. And then, like, 10 years later, like, we redid the slop. No, you can't have the old slop anymore. What do you mean some of you like the old slop and are trying to keep it online for everybody else?
And part of them got to be like, yo, why do y'all even like that old shit? Like, there's a reason we didn't give it back. I want a remaster of this old game. Do you?
Right. I want Glover remastered. Are you sure you do? Like,
it's like if they tried to remaster Bubsy, the Bubsy games,
which they did.
They did?
Well, I don't know if they.
I know they released a sequel for some reason.
Right. They released that sequel. I thought at the same time they re-released them, but I think maybe they only re-released one of them. Like, they're never re-releasing Bubsy 3D, the 3D platformer that was terrible.
I think they should try to remake it.
No, I disagree.
Like, not. I mean, like, from the ground up. So I saw something that
that's just a new video game. Then,
yeah,
actually,
what you're saying is they should make a new Bubsy game, which they did, and it was bad.
But it was still 2D. Yes. No, I think I saw a thing that kind of pointed out the tragedy of Bubsy 3D. You had a bunch of new developers who never really made games working in a 3D space. Something that, to be fair, no one figured out. And like a month later, Mario 64 comes out and does it so well. They're like, no, not again.
Man, I we've talked multiple times about the old, like, character action platformers, but I recently sold off a bunch of my old PS1 games, and one that I came across was called Croc.
Croc, oh, yeah, I remember Croc. Croc
2.
I never played Croc, but I always wanted to.
It's just another action platformer game. There were so many of them. It's just a collect-a-thon. It's just you are a crocodile, and you're collecting what essentially look like, what's the thing from Star Trek, Tribbles? The little, like, Tribbles, fur, little fur fuzzy, things? That's fuzzy what bits. They look like.
Little Furbies.
Yeah. I think they're called, like, Globos or something. I don't know.
Yeah, like in Banjo-Kazooie had the Jinjos.
Yeah, let me see.
They're, like, Croc little pointy 2. Dudes, like,
the Glorbo from my shows.
Marvel fans wait to the end of a movie just to see Glorbo pop out. I am Glorbo.
Sorry, Glorbo it will was, return. It was Gobbos. G-O-B-B-O's.
The 90s, man.
The great British Bake Offs.
And also, then there's also Gex and stuff.
I tried to go to Wikipedia to look at like an article and a screenshot about Croc. I was like, oh, I want to see this screenshot but bigger. But no, this is just how big it is. You can't enlarge it at all. It's just this teeny.
What is the resolution on? It's like 400x400 yeah, pixels.
It's so small.
Remember, I mean, that used to be the resolution for stuff.
Yeah.
They blow it up on TV 600x400. Get out of here, man. With your old bitmap ass. Hilarious. Some other news before I go off on the massive tangent. Splatoon 3 is apparently going to launch with all the basic weapons. It's not going to be like a drip feed like it was for Splatoon 2, so you're just going to have like access to every basic weapon, and then they're going to do more DLC as they go on, which they have a pretty interesting model with how they do DLC in Splatoon. It's all free except for like the big expansion. The Octo expansion did feel like I was paying money for more content and not just, hey, instead of the gun with, like, a time bomb and, like, a missile, we're gonna give you the same gun with balloon bombs and, like, a bubble wand. Like, yo, dog, I'm not paying for that. Like, you don't have to. It's just on the game now, so.
It's just there now, don't worry.
Yeah, which is pretty neat. So, welcome to the Overwatch Watch. Beep, 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 beep. More Overwatch 2 news. They updated the game with from player feedback to make the supports a little better and more balanced stuff. So that was pretty neat that they're still listening and doing weekly updates. And they gave that's Zenyatta a kick.
Two or three? Or two or one?
For two. One is pretty much done. It was just sitting there. And we're all like, yo, so we gotta go back and play this in like a week and a half? Like, I don't want to play that game again. But they did some updates to balance it. They gave one of the characters who's like a sitting duck. His melee attack will now knock people back, which is pretty hilarious to see a dude just kick you super far on some more health and some other fixes that's worth looking at. People found an exploit that if you played as Wrecking Ball and jumped enough times in the same spot, it would crash the server, which is a weird.
Oh, I saw that they had to stop Wrecking Ball from being like playable at all until they fixed it.
They just took him out of the Overwatch 2 beta because like, he's crashing games. So we got to figure out why that's happening. So he's not even available in the first week of Overwatch League, which started this week. Which is pretty cool to see competitive play and see all the hosts and casters. Everyone's very excited. Some of the games were very competitive and fun to watch, so I'm glad it's back, and I'm glad the Overwatch team and the casting team can kind of get away from a little bit of the garbage that Blizzard is doing. It's kind of being its own thing. Houston and Dallas played a game in person, which was pretty cool. They had a little crowd at some location. I don't know where they were at, but the players were all there, and it was hosted and stuff like that. So I think Houston won. So good for them. It's just nice to see some competitive esports again. And that's pretty nifty. And apparently Valorant, the tactical shooter from Riot, is starting to like have open franchising. I'm not sure exactly what their model is going to be, but I think they're going to eat the cost for it so that there's not a big hurdle of you need $20 million to start a franchise. They will do that part. So it's looking like
for,
they
like,
are
competitive teams.
Yeah, I think they're going to do like some kind of league or something like that, which is nice. I don't think they're making the big mistake that Blizzard made with Overwatch. They're not stopping anybody else from doing tournaments. They're just saying we're going to have an official one, which is giving people the chance to become aim gods and do it themselves. But it kind of speaks to the confidence that Riot has in their game that, yeah, we don't need an investment from the players or the teams. We will do that part because this will be more beneficial to us in the long run if people want to play our game to root for their favorites. So we'll see how that goes. And that's, yeah, I mean, it's fun seeing all the Overwatch chatter, though. I think Video Game Donkey released a video that a lot of people are like, hey, man, there's only two takes in here that are bad. The rest makes a lot of sense. So if you're curious about Overwatch in general, just remember that the sequel is not out yet. This is just a tech demo, a tech beta for two. There will be far more content they are going to release with more than one hero and a few maps and more tweaks and stuff like that. A lot of graphical overhaul. And we have no idea what that release date is, but this is not the sequel. You did not wait 6 years for this. This is just a preview of what you are waiting 6 years for. Just a reminder, if you are interested in it, and if you are curious about Overwatch League and want to watch it, they are playing it on Overwatch 2, so it's a lot more visually clear. There's less noise on the screen. So if you have any questions, let me know. I'd be willing to show anybody a little bit. It's easier to watch now.
Walk you through the ropes.
Yeah, of course. But yeah, I think that's it.
Oh, we got one more thing. Did we talk about the rest of... Actually, I should have segued into this from the Doctor Who news, because that would have been smooth, but they cast the rest of the trio in the Percy Jackson series.
No, I thought I had that on the notes.
Did we talk about that last week?
Maybe.
I thought we did.
I think it dropped this week.
Yeah, let's talk about it some more.
Yeah, so anyway, the reason it is of note to of connection to the Doctor Who casting is that they cast a black actress to play Annabeth, and I'm very excited about it. Pretty much there was a lot of ire about the original movies for a lot of reasons, including reasons related to whether the characters looked like they were supposed to look in the books. So there was a pretty big stink about the fact that Annabeth had she had brown hair in the movie when she's blonde in the series. But the reason that it was important that she be blonde is because she's a daughter of Athena, but because she's blonde, she gets underestimated a lot. And I don't think that a black actress is going to have a problem tapping into that same issue.
Yeah.
And also, like, it was just, like, it was exhausting to kind of, like, as a white person, felt bad that, like, everyone who was celebrating this announcement on Twitter was, like, couching it in a, immediately defensive post. It was, like, one thing we're not going to do is bitch about accuracy when it comes to casting when Rick Riordan is the guy who picked this actress. and it's, it's really depressing to me that, like, misogynoir is so pervasive that you can't even just, like, have a moment to genuinely celebrate that, like, this super smart, like, the love interest of this epic series is gonna be a black girl. Like,
yeah. Also, it's about Greek people who...
Yeah.
I mean, I'm pretty sure Lore Olympus just portrays them all as various colors, so I think, this one could have, like, a black person be in it.
And, like, the series, even as it stands, is fairly diverse. Like, the book series is, like, fairly diverse. Like, there are a ton of, like, heroes of color throughout the series.
Cool.
And, like, anyone who complains about it to me, like, I saw a tweet to this, sentiment, but, like, anyone who really complains about it has not finished their Rick Riordan reading, because, like, the whole point of, like, he's, like, the aggressively anti, like, Joanne. Like, he's the wholesome children's book writer who continues to grow and learn and give opportunities to people from marginalized backgrounds and, like, step aside when his voice isn't the important one and to speak up when his voice is an important one. Like, he's, like, a decent overall guy. Like, and if you are mad that Annabeth is black, then Uncle Rick would be disappointed in you. I think.
Yeah, I think you mentioned
that.
I think you mentioned at some point people were upset about her hair color, and I'm the kind of person that's like, yo, if this character was blonde in the comics or the book or the source material, and they're not blonde in the movie, I'm upset. If you race bend them, I'm not upset. You know what I mean?
Yeah, like if it was a white girl but she stayed brunette the entire time, like, that's like, come on, man.
Yeah, you could have bought, like, a Party City wig. Like, in Dragon Ball Evolution, when Bulma only had, like, a streak of blue hairs, like, you couldn't have got a wig, like, but, you know, that's my line.
Like, they could do anything with her hair. Who can say? Like, maybe, like she, even in the picture they took of her, like, the day that was announced, like, she had blonde braided, like, in her braids. Like, you can do a lot of things.
Yeah, and that also could still fit the same,
Feels like when people were mad about Starfire being black in the Titan show. Like,
that was so aggressively racist.
Yeah,
dog, like, yeah, because, like, Starfire's orange. Like, I'm sorry, just from, like, a laziness level, if I wanted to cast a human being who was orange, you'd have to get someone either aggressively tanned or a black person. That's closer than, like, a white person's skin, right? Like, I don't know.
Yeah, so I don't think that there will be quite the backlash to this because I think...
Uncle Rick.
Because of the Uncle Rickness of it. Like, because I think that the people who would want to complain will keep it, like, keep their mouth shut, basically. Like, whether or not they are happy, like, they're going to keep their mouth shut because they don't want, like, dad to be disappointed in them kind of vibes. But I'm really excited about it. Yeah, exactly. Like, if that's what it takes to keep racist mouth shut, fine. But, like, I'm excited about it. They also cast Grover, the sidekick, the satyr sidekick, who's a, like, Southeast Asian kid, so just really excited about seeing all these kids and, like, the fact that they are casting, like, such a broad net for the roles is heartwarming to me. So, and, like, should be the fucking minimum, but is heartwarming to me. So.
Good, good, good.
Yeah.
I'm happy about that.
Yeah.
And, I think that's everything, right?
Think so.
Unless they all got something else, but, we could probably go on for another 2 minutes about something, but I think we wrapped up pretty good today. It's not even as late as it normally is, so go us. We did the thing.
Heck yeah.
Yeah. Not as late. Still real tired for some reason, though.
It's hard to be on, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But, hey, Steph, if you could be on for a little bit longer and kick us with that social media biz.
I could be on long enough to tell you guys about where to find us on the internet. If you want to find us on the internet, you can do that. You can find this podcast in your podcast catcher of choice by searching for Character Reveal. You can go to characterreveal.simplecast.com in your browser. You can go to Character Rev on Instagram, Character Rev on Twitter, Character Reveal on Instagram and Facebook. We share every time there's new pods, so you don't have to worry about it. But if you like and subscribe on your podcast catcher, then you will just get it without having to need the reminder from our social media. You can also find us individually on the internet. I'm Captain Steph on Twitter, The Snow Queer on Tumblr, and Hello Steph on Instagram. Dom is Brother Dom anywhere he wants to be found, and the same rule applies to Eric, who is Tindy Losey.
Great to be here. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, we're really grateful to have him here. Thanks for being here.
Thanks for having me.
And, and you can support our show. Like, word of mouth, always great. Like, if you enjoy it, like, recommend it to a friend. That'd be awesome. But if you want to support us financially, you can do that by going to Character Reveal or patreon.com/character reveal and supporting us with a donation of $1 or more per month. And also you can buy the coffee that Dom mentioned at the beginning of the episode.
Yeah.
It's the cool thing to do. It's delicious.
You can do that. Support good gamers, not the bad ones, but the good gamers like us by buying Grinding Coffee Company, coffee for gamers and streamers. They're fair trade coffee, black owned, LGBTQ plus owned. It's just it's good stuff. It's very tasty. I'm lagging today. I'm very just tired. Coffee would have helped. If you follow our link in the description or go to their website and use offer code CHARACTERREVEAL, you can get 10% off your next order. That helps them, that helps you, that helps us. It's win-win-win situation. Can't go wrong with it. That's Grinding Coffee Company and offer code CHARACTERREVEAL, all caps, all one word. Check them out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They have all the coffee you need. They got beans, grounds, and K-cups, and all kinds of stuff.
Hell yeah. I had some for breakfast this morning. It was delicious.
Hell yeah.
Lucky you.
With breakfast, not for breakfast. I also ate real food.
Oh, even better. Well, listeners,
Thank you so much for joining us for another episode of our lovely show. Be on the lookout for more content coming soon. It'll probably pick up over the summer just for a few different reasons. There'll be more stuff coming. Steph, Eric, thank you for joining me on this lovely week. And
thanks for having me.
It was great to be here.
Of course. Anytime. But until next time, see you later.
Bye.